How many of you have ever felt like you've just gotten in, we always say gotten in a rut, but in my experience, a rut goes straight. But how many of you feel like you've just gotten in a cycle? That's, you know, we look at history and we can see, and I do this, that we repeat history, don't we? And then eventually we're going to get around and it's going to be midnight and that's going to be the end. But as we look in the Bible, we see that Israel did the same thing, just repeated themselves. And we come to Luke chapter 8 and we find a fellow who has fallen into a life, a cycle of sin. But more than sin, the Bible actually says that he had devils. He was possessed by devils. And while that's something that may be hard for us to relate to specifically, we understand the concept of having something in our lives that has taken such control over us that we lose, it seems, our ability for reason. We lose our ability to think straight, to think clearly, to make good decisions. We don't have the judgment. We don't have the discernment, the discretion. And so sometimes things come into our lives, whether that's a person or whether that's a substance or whether that's a habit, that evil and that wickedness and that possession possesses us. You know, something we all have to learn is that there are things we possess and there are things that possess us. Jesus referred to the Sabbath and he said the Sabbath was made for man. Right? It was to serve us. We weren't to serve the Sabbath. And there are things in our lives that are the same way. In our occupations, in your job, if you're employed, and how many of you are retired and glad to be? Hey, they raised their hands for that. All right. But there are those that have jobs. Look, it's a good thing to have a job if you need one and got to pay bills and such as that, take care of your family. But don't let the job possess you. You know, have a job. Be a good employee, be a great employee. Be the best example of work ethic that anybody's ever seen. But when it's time to punch out, punch out. And I know for people with a strong work ethic, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to just go home and leave it all behind. But we can't let the job or the profession possess us. And obviously, at different levels, that will affect us differently. But, and I've never had a position in my life where I punched out and I was just done for the day. Never have. I've always had that still part of the team even when I was not there. And we just need to make sure that it's in control and that it's serving us, serving the purpose that God has in our lives. So whether that's a job or whether that's a hobby, whether that's recreation, whether that's a person. And I know when we talk about people, we don't really want to be a possession. We don't want them to be our possession. But in our relationships, if someone's controlling you, you know, and starts to control those things, then you have to examine and you have to evaluate, is this really healthy for my life, especially in our youth? But there are things that come into our lives, whether that's a habit or an addiction. You know, if at 10 o'clock at night you realize there's none of it in the house and you got to go to the store right now to get it. You know, you might need to examine whether or not that's you possess that or it possesses you. In verse number 27, we find a fellow. The Bible says that Jesus has been on the Sea of Galilee, which is also referred to as the Lake of Gennesaret. And they passed over to the land of the Gadarenes. Verse 27, he went forth to land. There met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. So this is a problem that this fellow's had for a long, man, just, he can't remember when it wasn't that way. You know, look at that. It's just always been there, seems like. Can't remember life before these devils took control of his life. That may be said about an addiction or a habit or, again, all of those things we talked about. We just, you know, it's been such a controlling influence in his life for so long. But Jesus has gone. If you imagine the Sea of Galilee or Lake of Gennesaret and Gadara would be on the east side, north, not really northeast, but on the east up toward the top, northeast quadrant, if you will. And this guy's been living out there. It says he wear no clothes. You know, I figured out that the devil would have us to run around naked. That's true. You look around, you'll see that the devil's influence is that people don't want to wear clothes. He encourages nakedness. Why? Because he opposes modesty. He opposes restriction. And, you know, who are you to tell me what I should wear? Well, the devil's all about, you know, we shouldn't have any rules. Well, I'll tell you something. It's a problem when we throw modesty out. We need to have modesty. Cover up. It's just about being appropriate. And, of course, the devil encourages him not to have any restrictions, any rules, including what to wear. And so he's out there and he's naked, the Bible says. He's got no clothes. Neither abode he in any house. Why? Well, because walls and a roof, that's restrictive. Don't want anything that's going to contain me. I don't want to be contained. You get the idea? You know anybody like that? They don't want any rules, don't want any perimeters, no boundaries, just whatever I want to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I have a right to do whatever I want. I know y'all have never heard any of that, right? He wouldn't settle in a house. He was prone to wander. He didn't want to settle down. What's your address? Well, you know, I just kind of, wherever I am, that's where I am. That's the mentality. So he's not stable. He's not settled. And by the way, the devil would love for us to not get settled. We need to get settled. We need to put roots down. We need to be anchored. People need to be able to rely on us. But then finally in verse 27, it says that he abode in the tombs. Here's a man who lives in the caves among the graves. What does that mean? Well, it means that he's stuck in the past. It means that he is in the continuous agony and misery of loss and regret and sorrow. And guys, I was actually last night thinking, as I was laying in bed, I was thinking back, and I've all the way back, I believe the first person that passed away after I came to church here was Brother C.B. And I walked from Brother C.B. all the way through to all of those that we love who have left our fellowship by way of heaven. And the truth is, as I was going through all of those names, I realized I still grieve their loss. I still grieve their absence. But I love them, and I know they're better off. I know by faith, and I won't start naming names because I'd have to name all of them, to be fair. But they're in heaven with God. And I'm just grateful that we had the pleasure of them being part of our church for some period of time. Some very brief, in fact. But this fella, when he walked down memory lane to look at those who had left him by way of passing, he just wouldn't leave the tombs. He stayed right there by the graves. And he was stuck in that era of days gone by. There's nothing wrong with walking down memory lane, but we can't live there. We've got to live here. I can't live tomorrow. I can only live today. I can't relive yesterday. We've got to be present. That's the only way we can serve God, is presently. And so he, as we get that picture of this man, we see that he was a mess, wasn't he? He really was a mess. Verse 28, Jesus comes on a shore, and when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Again, realize this. The Bible says the man had demons. He had a devil. Thousands of devils. He was scared of Jesus. The man was not in control of himself. But the influence, the power that the devil had over his life gave him fear and showed the church and God and the Bible and Jesus as a threat. And I know it's hard for us to imagine, but we have to understand there are people out there who are afraid of what we believe. That makes them also afraid of us. They're afraid of our influence. Again, the same thing. You're not restricting my body. You're not restricting who I can love. You're not restricting what I can wear. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? By the way, I don't know if you ever told your kids not to play in the highway, but if you did, that was a safety feature. I don't know if you ever told them, stay out of the kitchen when I'm cooking. Don't touch that. Stay away from that. We're trying to protect them. We're trying to show them a better way. But let me tell you something. A river that doesn't have banks becomes a swamp. We have to be regulated. We have to have boundaries. There has to be a line that we don't cross. Look at the tide as it comes in and goes out, but there is a final point at which it doesn't cross, except in crisis. This man was not in control of himself. The devil's controlled him. Sin had taken over, and sin will take over our lives if we'll let it in. We can't give it a foothold. It raised their fear, and they were afraid of Jesus. The devils were afraid of Jesus. He was afraid of Jesus. We just want people to be loved and know Jesus and know the joy of salvation. And they're afraid of us. Verse 29, Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he had break the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Look, every once in a while they'd catch up with this guy, and what would they do? They'd put restrictions on him. They'd put restrictions on him and try to help him. Why do we do that? Well, we're protecting society also, but we're also trying to protect them from themselves. In the Bible, if we read the other Gospels, the Bible says that he cut himself. He was a risk to himself. And so they would lock him up. I always imagine this man as they would bring him to town and they would give him a shower and shave his beard and give him a haircut and get him all cleaned up and get him some new clothes. But then he'd start looking at those walls and that ceiling and that was restrictive. And he felt closed in and he felt controlled and the chains and the fetters on his feet. And he just felt like he was not free enough. The devil would take control and he would break free. And was he better off living in the caves and the tombs? And no, he wasn't. But that's what mental illness will do. That's what Satan will do. That's what sin will do. It removes our clear thinking. And so he was stuck in a cycle. Look, oftentimes it would catch him, and then he'd break free and go back. He just kept doing it. Just kept doing it. And you know, the hard thing is, for those who are trying to help him, is at some point, I bet somebody said, why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep trying to help this guy? He doesn't want to help himself. All we're doing is throwing good money after bad and putting all this effort into this guy. And as soon as we get him cleaned up, he goes back to sin. As soon as we get him straightened out, he goes back to the world. Why do we keep doing this? Have any of us ever said that? You know why we keep doing it? Because it says something about us. It says something about us when we don't give up on people. It says something about us when we keep loving people through their hard times and through their cycles and through their repetitive actions. It's not because we're excusing their sin. It's because we love them. That's why we keep going back. Verse 30, Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils had entered into him. They besought Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. That place that is defined as being that the site of this story, the high hill, really, just comes down almost like a ramp right down into the water. it says that they came down the steepness, right down into the water where they drowned, where they choked out. Why? Because even a pig has sense to know they want to have that in their lives. We got to get it out of our lives. So what happens? Verse 34. Well, the people who kept the pigs, the swine, went and told everybody in the city what had happened. Verse 35, when they went out to see, they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. And he was sitting. Hold on a second. Remember, he was unsettled. He wouldn't settle down. He wouldn't sit still. He was always, you know, get this idea of somebody who's just always wandering and running around. But now that Jesus had cast out the devils, now that this man had Jesus in his life, he was sitting. He was still. He was settled. He was stable. Sitting, secondly, at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. What's he doing? He's listening to the Lord. He's learning. He's growing. Guys, that's what happens when we get Christ in our lives. We need to be growing, because if we don't grow, you know what we'll do? We'll go back. If we don't get active in service to God, we'll go back. We'll end up right back where we were. Did you notice the next part? He had clothes on. He had clothes on. That's good. Yeah, cover up. Modesty. Modesty. Just cover. The word modesty in the Bible just means appropriate. Right? So appropriate for a football game and church is two different dress, right? I mean, you can wear your FSU shirt in here if you want to. Y'all don't care? All right, I don't care either. Yeah, I mean, you can wear, your football stuff in here, but when we come to church, we dress for church. We go to a football game, we dress for football game. You go to the beach, you dress for the beach. You don't dress for the beach and go to church. Two different ways. Appropriateness, modesty. And then he says, he was in his right mind. Hallelujah. To get his mind back, to have his discretion, his discernment, his understanding, his judgment. He was able to do what was right and think what was right and think for himself. Remember, when Jesus approached him, it wasn't him talking. It was the devil talking. It was the sin. It was the addiction. I don't know if you've ever known anybody that was caught in that. But you know, the problem is that we get to a point, and we also see this in disease, don't we? And I've, so many times I've had to tell loved ones, just realize it's not your loved one that's saying that or doing that. It's the disease. The same way we see a disease take over the mind of one who is sick, we can also see sin take over the mind of one who is caught in sin. But now it's gone. Now it's gone, and he can speak clearly and he can think clearly because Jesus changed his life. Well, wouldn't that be remarkable to come across somebody who's been in this cycle so many times, and then they come to him, and this is somebody they keep locking up, and we've tried to help him, and they go, no, Jesus was out there, and he cast the devils out, and that guy is straight now. And they all went out there to see it, and they got out there, and there might have been just a tinge of jealousy that he could do what they couldn't do. I want you to understand something. If you can get what God's got for you somewhere else, I'd rather you go there. If God can give it to you better somewhere else, then go there. Honestly. I'm not here for myself. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve God through serving you. And if you say, well, I just don't feel like I'm getting fed at church. I don't feel like I'm learning the Bible at church. Well, I mean, if you can get it somewhere else, you can get what God's got for you, go somewhere else. Honestly. I'm not trying to hold anybody back. I'm not jealous because I can't do what you need. I'm not going to hold you back. Does that make sense? There was a tinge of jealousy because they weren't able to do it, but Jesus could do it. By the way, understand something. If you want power in your life, it's not going to come from Derek anyway. It'll come from Jesus. So maybe they were jealous that he could do what they couldn't, but also, they were a little afraid. Never seen anything like it. And rather than say, hey, that's awesome, show us how. Show us how you did that. Tell us how this happened. And teach us. Instead of saying, teach us, they said, could you please get out of here? Could you please leave? Verse number 37, the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Jesus to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Jesus went up into the ship and returned back again. There's one more little part here. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him. How can we tell a genuine conversion when somebody would desire to spend more time with Jesus than with anyone else? When somebody is willing to walk away from everything they've got, everything they've ever known, and follow Jesus. Praise God, He doesn't ask us to do that, but are we willing to do whatever God would have us to do? But Jesus sent him away. Jesus didn't say, yeah, come be one of my apostles and we'll make a difference throughout all the region. No, He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go home. I want your mama to see what Jesus did for you. I want your dad to see what Jesus did for his son. I want your brothers and your sister to see what a change came on you when you got in touch with God. I want those people that keep putting you in chains and fetters and cleaning you up and trying to fix you up to understand that it wasn't a problem on the outside. The problem was on the inside. We can't fix somebody by just cleaning them up on the outside. We talked about the Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. And the recovery, the revival, of course, it's speaking of the nation of Israel coming, resurrecting, really. But it started with very dry, separated bones. In the very depth of who we are, God changes us from the inside out. And what a change He can make if we submit to Him and stay consistent in the process. And He will change our lives, just like He changed the man at Gadara. Would you stand? I want you to have an opportunity to come to the altar this morning and pray, if that's your desire. Or I'll pray with you if you need it. Or you can pray from where you are. But let's put it this way. We've seen what you could do with your life. Aren't you ready to see what God can do with it? Amen. Aren't you ready to see what Jesus will do if you'll surrender to Him this morning? Would you pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give myself to you. I want to get out of this cycle where I just keep repeating things that are not good for me. I want to get out of this cycle that separated me from everybody I love and kept me hanging on to things that I can't have. God, I give myself to you. Father, would you use this time that you would be glorified and that we would be drawn closer. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you need to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. What's on your heart? Would you let God have His way? What would God have you to do? is your opportunity. Anything else before we're dismissed? Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Ladies meeting is Tuesday night. Brotherhood breakfast is Sunday at 8:30 in the morning. And come on out. And I'm sure that Sister Wanda's still back there. I'm sure that Sister Wanda will fix something great for Thurman to put his name on and bring, all right? Anyway, we look forward to that. Brother Henry is going to give us our devotion on Sunday morning. We look forward to it. Anything else? Stay for lunch, please. Stay for, we got food back there. Enjoy some fellowship, okay? And don't forget to sign up for the Valentine's banquet also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the food. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?